I don't need my antidepressants anymore. I'm throwing them out.
That's it.
Like, it's just, I just need to listen to that song every morning and I'll get through the day. I know it.
Anxiety was cured.
Depression, 21st of October 2022. PTSD, who is she? Like, no one knows because this song has cured the world.
Hey, hot stuff. Welcome back to another episode and welcome to a new era. My name is Amanda. Of course, I am sitting across from my beautiful bestie for the restie, Cara Arredi, but today I'm also sitting next to my other bestie for the restie, Miss Bray Hackleton-Smith. Welcome to the podcast again.
Wow, thank you so much.
I would also like to say hi.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically today we are sitting down to talk about Midnights, but I think first of all I need to know how both of you are.
Yes. Well, first of all, I just want to say Midnights by Taylor Swift, the album. Surely everyone knows that.
Is that not obvious?
I mean, but I'm sure there's a couple of Taylor Swift, like non-Taylor Swift fans among our listeners. Not many, but some. Mm. So I just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
Asking how we are. I feel like I have an emotional hangover.
Okay.
Which I think happens after any Taylor Swift album release. I'm like, how am I processing this? What's going on? There's so many things to do. I feel immobilized by the sheer genius that I witnessed.
Do you know what's so funny is that I'm the opposite. I haven't been energized? Able to stop doing things.
Really?
Like even the dulcet tones of the intro, I was like, this is not hyped up enough for the way that I feel right now. Like,
except it has to be this because otherwise editing this will be a nightmare.
If it was Cara reacting with all the screaming,
we were not well. No, we were not well.
I did scream a lot last night. You did. And I also think I threw my back out in some capacity because we were dancing. So that's kind of also contributing to why I feel like I have a hangover today. Anyway, Ducky, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I feel like you guys are opposite ends of the spectrum and I'm sitting in this like chaotic neutral.
I'm like, every time I think about this album and every time I think about like how this album made me feel last night, I'm like, I can't believe. I woke up this morning and I was like, I can't believe it wasn't a fever dream that we just experienced.
Like, I'm just going to be partying and slaying for the rest of my life. Thank you so much, Taylor.
Yeah, literally. This is what I want to say first off. Taylor made this album for me because she knew I was in my slay era. Thank you, Taylor. This
is what the album's for. New album. Exactly. New era.
Exactly.
You really are in your slay era.
I really, really am.
I can't relate, but...
Yes, you can.
Don't pity me.
Let's start off with obviously the fact that last night, we're recording this on Saturday the 22nd, last night for us in Australia, Midnight by Taylor Swift came out. The long-awaited album, and by long we mean 2 months. Too long when we're used to album drops.
See, I feel like it came around so quickly that it was like
unbelievable. I could not disagree more.
Really?
I think the last week went quickly, or the last two weeks went quickly, but before that I was like, when is this album dropping when I'm 80? Like, what's going on?
I think that because we've become so accustomed to getting a track list, an album, a single, everything in such a short period of time, the drip feeding... Again, with the adrenaline, was driving me absolutely insane.
I honestly didn't love the drip feeding in general.
I loved it.
No, I didn't like it that much.
I think it brought us back to pre-Folklore and Evermore. Because this is what it used to be like, but we just forgot.
But I think that I'm like, I've outgrown that now.
Yeah,
so I don't like it. But regardless, the album's here. And we're going to obviously talk about our thoughts, our initial reactions. We're going to list our top five. So let's start. And by the way, we're listing our, like, we're talking about the album as a whole, including the 3 a.m. bonus tracks.
We have to.
Which, that was fucked up that she did that. I mean, is it surprising? No. Kind of, but no. We have to list as a whole because we love so many songs on the 3 a.m. edition.
Yes.
Which obviously brings the total track list to 20. Mm. What a fucked up amount of songs. This is the thing. Taylor Swift... It's just like she could do less, but she never does.
She couldn't.
She does.
And I think that something that is worth noting is that we listened to Midnights knowing that there were 7 extra tracks.
Yeah. So we got together around 4:30 or 5 our time. And it wasn't until
the announcement came out at 5.
At 5 that she was announcing her chaotic surprise. And we were like, okay, we have like an extra 15 minutes to wait. We may as well just wait to see what's going on.
Yeah. So I think that makes differentiating between the 3 a.m. version and the original album a little bit more difficult because we took maybe like a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
But we listened to that album for the first time as a 20-song album.
Yes. I completely agree. I think sonically, though, it's very obvious which are the add-on tracks as the 3AM edition. Mm. I think it's very, very clear. I think she made a good decision that, like, Midnight's, the actual album itself, like, that was a cohesive album, I feel.
Yeah.
And the 3AM edition is, like, I can see why they didn't make the album itself, but they made a 3AM edition. Sonically, I mean.
Some of those I get. Some of them I'm like, what do you mean you didn't put Glitch in the top?
I mean,
you know?
I agree.
Justice for Glitch.
Glitch is such a good song. Anyway, let's do our top five.
I feel like we should all do like our favorite song each and then let's rank them.
I simply couldn't rank. You haven't ranked
them? I ranked my top five in order.
Oh, mine's in no particular order.
I'm out here doing
work. Okay, I can tell you my first one.
I'm out here barely doing tears. Like,
I struggled to not just continue writing all 20 songs, really.
Mm.
There's honestly, like, every song is great. I know you don't agree, Ducky. We'll get into that. But I don't know if I can. Okay, I can tell you my number one song.
Okay, you right start. Now. You start.
My number one song right now is Midnight Rain.
Same.
Guys, I'm like so intrigued to hear what everyone's thoughts are on Midnight Rain, because amongst the camp of our friends, our friend Alan ranked it last.
It's quite out of 20. Divisive.
I think I ranked it near the bottom too.
Absolutely unfathomable in my mind. The second I heard that deep ring, oh my god, oh, stop.
It's like
it filled my body, it rejuvenated me.
I just got goosebumps thinking about it.
I'm like, I felt like this being enter my body and like awaken me.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm just alive.
It's a serotonin IV drip to my soul.
It is.
That's all it is.
I want that song. There is not a decibel level loud enough how loud I want that song. I want it blasted in my ears. I can't tell you how much I love it. I listened to it like on repeat today when I was driving.
So can you guys tell me like what you love about
it? I did write this down.
I'm not trying to drag you or anything like that. I'm just curious because like this song hasn't like resonated with me instantly. I looked at my list and I ranked it as number 14.
I literally have written down exactly why I like this song.
And I'll just interject.
Okay.
Yep.
The lyrics.
Okay. Mm.
Fucked up. He wanted it comfortable. I wanted that pain. He wanted a bride. I was making my own name. Chasing the fame. She's just like admitting like she was chasing fame, which I feel like she's never ever like acknowledged that before. She's always kind of come at it more from like a view of like she doesn't acknowledge that she's ever wanted that kind of side of things. And obviously in that era, she was doing a lot of like, she was doing a lot.
Yeah.
Well, she's done things like that throughout the entire album. It's like when she's talking about doing things for money as well. Is that in Would Have, Could Have, Should Have?
That's in You're On Your Own Kid.
You're On Your Own Kid. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, what do we love about it? What else do you love about it?
I loved that for the first 15 seconds, the first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know what I'm hearing.
That's what I love too.
And then the second time round, I was like, how could this have ever been anything else? Like, I love, it sounds a little bit Sherry. It sounds a little bit like, I love that she's playing with her voice. We've always seen her do different things. And obviously she's tried different styles before. We've got different genres. But to have a completely different sound.
So different.
From her.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Absolutely love it.
I completely agree.
Yep.
When we pressed play on Midnight Rain and I heard that fucking sound in my eardrums, I was like, what am I hearing? I need to understand it immediately. I need to know more immediately. And then, and I've written this down, then the key change when it goes from out of the autotune in the middle of the song in the chorus, out of the autotune into her regular voice. Don't do that to me.
Like, crack so to the good. Soul.
Oh, God. I don't need my antidepressants anymore. I'm throwing them out.
No, that's it.
Like, it's just, I just need to listen to that song every morning and I'll get through the day. I know it.
Anxiety was cured.
Depression, 21st who is of October, she? 2022. PTSD, who is she? Like, no one knows because this song has cured the world.
I love the story. The storytelling in this album is so different from the storytelling in Folklore and Evermore and even albums before that. I feel like it used to be really
explicit.
You're
reading my mind. I literally have this written down.
It used to be so explicit, right? Yes. We never had to guess who a song was about. And then we got Folklore and Evermore and we were like, oh, this maybe. Yeah. And we figured it out over time. Now it's like, oh, I know exactly who this is about, but you're being a lot more subtle. The metaphors are more creative.
Mm-hmm.
The analogies are more creative. I think Midnight Rain is just genius.
Same. So what do you not like about it? What does not hit you about Midnight Rain?
I don't like the production. I know that I know that it's an unpopular opinion. I know I'm going to get dragged for it.
Because no, I think amongst our group, I mean, to be fair, like, we listened to it with our friend Steph, us three.
Yeah.
And then your friend Alan. All of our friend Alan said it was last on her list.
Yeah.
If anything, Bray and I are on the outs on this one.
I agree.
I just feel like in the Taylor Swift universe, I feel like Ellen and I, and I think not Steph like as well, might be on the out here. But like, I'm finding the production hard to move past. I like the lyrics. I really like that bit at the end where she goes into her normal voice.
If it didn't have the deep auto tune, do you think you'd like it more?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's what makes the song for me.
I agree. It was the look. Like, there's never going to be a replicated way that I can describe the look on the four of our faces when we heard that. Like, we almost stopped it just to be like, like, is this Taylor? Like, yeah. What?
Literally.
Who is this? And we checked, like, song credits and everything. And I think, just after The Man, to then come on and have a production voice like that was absolutely good. Baffling.
So that's so definitely divine. My number one at the moment. I do expect, I'm not trying to say that that's not going to change, but right now that is a song that's gripping me.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Bray.
Yeah.
So what's your number one right now, Ducky?
My number one song is Would've, Could've, Should've.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that's my second.
I'm like a 3 a.m. versions girl.
Yeah, I think. You said to me in the car that you think that you would like the album a lot less from first listen without the 3 a.m. tracks.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me why Would've, Could've, Should've is your number one.
Well, I think the main thing is the messaging in the song, which I was saying to both of you last night. I think the more that I get older and think about my experiences as a young woman and the way that older men would cut how they view young women and some of the men that I sort of knew and like experienced when I was younger, even if there wasn't that huge of an age gap, I could feel...
It's the power imbalance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I really like the commentary that's starting to come out. Like, we've seen Billie Eilish do it, we've seen Demi Lovato do it, and now we're seeing Taylor Swift. I think this is a very, very explicit song in the sense that she's really looking back, and I really like the fact that throughout the song she says, "I regret you all the time," because I think that that is very present for a lot of young women who date older men, and then as they get older and they approach the age of the person they were dating when they're younger, it's almost like they can see it in hindsight, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, and it's also like, you know, you realize how much damage that can do when you are so young and you're so impressionable and you're so like easily led by someone who you think is like really great, really attractive because they're older and smarter and more accomplished, and like then you grow up and you're like, that actually kind of fucked me up, like relationships wise, like mental health wise and stuff like that. I'd love to know if she's talking about this from a past version where she's like maybe like wasn't at peace with it, or if she currently still feels like that is like those lyrics are what she feels.
I feel like I'm getting the vibe that that's what she feels.
That's also how I was feeling, but I'm just like, I saw this comment that was like, John Mayer needs to go into witness protection.
I was about to say, we do need to disclaim that we think that this is about John Mayer.
I want to disclaim that I'm actually not super, like, I'm okay, this is a kind of a tangent side note. I feel like I don't love to speculate instantly about what whose songs are about. Like, I kind of feel like it's reductive and it takes away from it, like the art. But at the same time, I'm a Swiftie, so like it's kind of like in my nature to do so.
Yeah.
Like, I've been raised to do it. Yeah. So like,
I mean, our entire culture is looking for clues.
I'm trying to revise that cultural part of myself. Okay. Like, do I need to do that? It is my first reaction.
Yeah.
But this, I think in this scenario, it talks about like this type of song, like you said, Ducky, where like she's calling someone out, whether it's like someone specifically or maybe like a group of people or like the idea as a general, you know, concept.
Yeah.
I think it is important to talk maybe about those people who have done that to her. Yeah. John Mayer. Jake Gyllenhaal's only 3 years. I know she says 19, so she wasn't with Jake Gyllenhaal, but like, he's only 3 years younger than John Mayer.
I was about to say this as well. Like,
I looked it up last night.
Upon first listen, we do jump to John Mayer.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
But something that I think we see a lot more of Taylor doing in these albums since storytelling has become a little bit more nuanced.
Mm. Yeah.
Is drawing on the experience and the feeling. So to have it be across multiple experiences or mm-hmm. multiple men, or even experiences of her friends yeah. or being inspired by Billy and Demi, whatever it might mm-hmm. be. I don't think that assigning a single value to it
yes.
is always going to be the best way to approach Taylor Swift songs, especially now that she is of an age where those experiences are cumulative.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I do sometimes wonder, I'm like, is she putting little hints in and like little bridges to other songs? Like she mentions 19 and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. We know she's done that with like the All Too Well 10-minute version. She mentioned like the birthday party from the...
The Moment I Knew.
Moment I Knew, sorry. And yeah, like I just... I think sometimes I'm like, is she trying to get us to speculate, or is it, or we just need to like take a step back? That's yeah. why I'm kind of in two minds about
I
it.
I think that's when we get super meta. We're like, are you putting in clues for us to understand that's so that getting, you can understand so that we can understand?
That's where
like,
we're getting anti-hero music video vibes where they're yeah, all yelling at each other.
I need to talk about the music video. It's fine.
Anyway, fully respect that first song.
Yeah.
Because yes. it's my second. I reckon, I would say it's a close second.
Yeah. I just also think that as well, it could be, and I think it is, quite a strong social commentary as well,
oh,
because
yeah.
we still see this happening. I mean, in general, there are so many women I know who have had experiences like this, but as well as that, we see it a lot in Hollywood, a lot of celebrities, younger women who date older men and stuff like that. And so I really appreciate this song from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love the lyric, "And now that I know, I wish you'd left me wondering," which I think is just like so makes so much sense, because I think there's that feeling of being like, sometimes I think you can look back and look at someone like, oh my God, they're the one that got away. Like, I wonder what it would have been like to experience that and stuff like that. Mm. But then the reality of actually experiencing that person would have been 10 times worse than
yeah.
missing out.
And it's also like the opposite mm-hmm. end of the spectrum. Like when you do experience that pain or that like really hard experience, you're
yeah.
like, this is what she's saying, right? Like what would have happened or could have happened if I didn't do this? And what I found really interesting with this song is that she's really kind of exploring that idea that like, this was a huge, this whatever relationship this was, whether it was one relationship or like a couple of relationships, it was like a turning point in her life.
Yeah.
Because I mm-hmm. love that when she says, if you'd never looked my way, and then it goes into the chorus, I would have stayed on my knees and I damn sure never would have danced with the devil at 19. That is a fucked up lyric.
Yeah.
What do you mean you never would have danced with the devil?
I think it makes so much sense as well, knowing that Taylor Swift grew up in quite a religious environment. I love that there is so much imagery and there are so many kind of like tangent call outs to religion in this as well, because it really is about that time in your life where you go from being someone who is made up of a lot of experiences that your family and your community have fed to you and then making your own choices at the time. You're like, this is perfect. This is what yeah. I want to be my own individual.
Yeah.
And looking back on that and being like, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the best for me. Like, I'm glad that I made my own decision, but it wouldn't have been that one in hindsight.
Yeah, exactly. And I also loved the lyric of, if you never saved me from boredom, I could have gone on as I was, but Lord, you made me feel important.
It's just such a good song.
It's such a good song. And like, I think about it, if we're thinking, because she mentions in her song that she was 19, whatever she's talking about, like 19's obviously a focal point. And if we're going to ascribe that kind of period in her life to this song, I kind of see what she means by the boredom, because that's like what? Like Fearless was out, Debut was out. That's,
yeah.
Those are very tame albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very tame. And she was very much like America's sweetheart. Like not much was going on. Obviously like she'd had the Kanye scenario happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like she was pretty much like a golden child. Like nothing crazy had happened. So like it's almost like she's saying, you saved me from this like boring future almost.
Like I would have just gone on being this pious Christian.
But also like what would have happened if you didn't kind of thing. Anyway, I just found it so interesting. I love that song so much.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. It's one of those songs where I can't wait to be able to sing it word for word, because it's like a fast paced song.
Yeah.
I love when I listen to a Taylor Swift song and it's like similar to like Death by a Thousand Cuts bridge, Cool Summer. It's like you just want to be able to sing every word off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Knowing the different variations in London Boy, like...
Yes.
There's a superiority that comes there.
Yeah.
It feeds my ego, for sure. Okay, so our first are done.
Yes.
What are our second... Okay, I don't know if I can properly... I said that my second was would have, could have, should have. I'll tell you my other three.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have spent already like probably 25 minutes talking about two songs. So...
As they deserve.
I would say my other top three on the album as a whole are You're On Your Own, Kid, Karma, and High Fidelity. Sorry, High Infidelity. But that also might be tied with the question.
Okay. Wow. What are yours, Braylini?
Okay, so...
So Midnight Rain?
Yes, Midnight Rain. Vigilante shit.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just... I'm a rep girly. I just need it in my soul. Labyrinth.
I haven't really listened to Labyrinth again. Because, like, to be fair, we've only been... It's been, like, literally, like, less than 24 hours since we first listened to this album. But I haven't listened to Labyrinth properly again.
Mm. I thought the plane was going down.
Mm, that's a great lyric.
How do you get it to turn around or whatever that lyric is? Absolutely. I was like, I need to absorb this over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I love Labyrinth. I knew that I would.
Yeah.
When I saw the track list, I was like, that's the one that I'm drawn to. Mm-hmm. That and Maroon, which I did have to ditch out of this list.
Maroon is a great song. I think that's going to grow me into like a favorite at some point.
For question. Okay, wait, can you repeat what you did? Sorry. So you've got...
So I've got Midnight Rain, Vigilante Shit,
mm.
Question, and Would've, Could've, Should've.
Okay.
Did you say Glitch?
No, Glitch was in there, and it's gone.
A special mention goes to Glitch.
I completely agree.
It's such a good song.
It's so good. I need it.
Glitch is my second favorite song.
Okay.
I need it. Just to be disclaimed that having the 3 a.m. versions in there absolutely ruined me because I love so many songs on the original, and then 3 a.m. versions, I just want them back to back to back to back to back.
Ducky, what's the rest of yours?
Okay, so we have Would've, Could've, Should've. I did mine in order.
Okay.
I can't believe that you were able to do that. It's What a Flex that
you can do that.
Yeah.
Then I did Glitch.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's such a good song.
Yeah. I love it. Sweet Nothing.
Oh, doom, doom.
You
doom,
would
doom,
love the romantic doom, song. Doom, doom,
doom. Karma and Question.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about Karma.
We can talk about Karma.
Yeah, let's talk about Karma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, it's in your list.
I want to start with saying, I think she wrote this song for us. She didn't already have the concept of the song written. I think she saw that we had the theory of Karma and she was like, I'm going to give the bitches what they want.
Mm. Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
I think she let us lead that marketing
thing.
She gave it to us, saw what we did with it, and then was like, right,
she's like,
okay,
I can write a bad bitch song about Karma.
That's an easy way to please the people.
Yeah. I just think it is such a fun song.
I agree. I wrote down, this evokes feelings of fun and happiness.
Yeah, it's so fun. Uh-huh. Like,
we were talking about it last night, but being able to view it as negative karma to the people that have wronged you and the positive karma when she talks about, like, my boyfriend is karma.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow, you really got there for yourself, girlie.
You know what? That's so true because I do think that, like, even, like, I think mostly of karma as a negative thing. Like, you either get negative karma or you just kind of, like, stay on the same trajectory.
All I think about is karma.
Versus, like, I, you know, might have had this thing with this person, but, like, I did good by them or I did the best I could. So I'm going to get positive karma and they're going to get negative karma.
Mm-hmm. It feels a bit like the outro or the add-on to Long Story Short.
Oh, yeah, like the farm.
It's like, right, this is where I'm at.
Mm.
And looking back, this is why I've gotten to where I am.
Yeah.
I love the lyric of, "An I keep my side of the street clean, you wouldn't know what I mean."
Mm.
I'm like, this song inspires me to be a good person.
Like you weren't already? Like,
I'm just like, what? Like, it's just, it's so fun to be like, especially I think because when someone's like fucked you over, which obviously this song is like based on the people who fucked you over.
Yeah.
It's kind of like nice to have a song that's like, okay, maybe I got fucked over, but I can like sing this and be happy about the fact that I'm still a good person and I've still got my shit sorted and they're gonna have their shit coming back to them at some point.
Well, I actually did listen to this song this morning through the lens of what our friend Steph was saying last night because I think she was the first person who brought up the fact that you can listen to it as, like we were saying, good karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that changed the whole perspective of the song for me because I really enjoyed it regardless because I just feel like it's fun,
it's
like
so
we
fun,
said.
Yeah.
However, when you listen to it, like the chorus in particular, thinking about the fact that she's talking about how she's done these good things and therefore she has the good karma, it really makes a lot more sense in my mind at least. And so... Love it.
Because then she goes to the breakdown and she has the negative side of karma. Like, karma is the thunder rattling your ground. Karma's on your scent like a bounty hunter. Karma's going to track you down.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is, it's, that is, that breakdown fucked me up when we first listened to it because it's so, like, paired back.
Yeah. Do you think that it makes it very well-rounded as a song?
Yeah.
I think that if we just had, like, the negative karma, we would have really been listening to, like, a Reputation Vault track.
Yes.
To be able to have... the hindsight and the other perspective makes it a midnight song, makes it a Taylor at this point in time song because I feel like at the moment she kind of is in her Slay era. She's in her very balanced.
Yeah.
I know how to balance having a private relationship and a public mm-hmm. presence. I know how to acknowledge that I had all of this shit done to me, but that I'm also the world's biggest pop star.
Yeah. Did either of you have your own kid in your top? I know you didn't, Ducky.
No,
but I think that it's going to grow. I'm anticipating a shift for me.
Mm. So your own kid did things to my soul.
Tell us.
Because first and foremost, I'm a sentimental narrative girly.
Inner child girly.
Look back at your past and your inner child and say, here's how I now understand it. Thank you so much.
You're safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for telling me that. So first of all, I love when we figured out that, like, as we're listening to it, that was what she was doing, is like, she kind of was like giving, like alluding to her earlier songs and like her earlier experiences that we know through songs. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of saw her like in her like small town, starting music, going into Hollywood, realizing she wasn't that quote unquote special, which obviously she fucking is, but like, you know, Hollywood that would make you feel not special.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Wouldn't know personally, but you know. And then, yeah, like getting to the end and I'm just like, the bridge is fucked up. Do you know what the bridge is?
I've literally only listened to that song once.
I have listened to it 3 times this morning, but my brain can't.
Okay, can I please read you the lyrics? I do have the entire bridge written down in front of me.
Okay.
I need to read most prepared.
From sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I gave my blood, sweat, and tears for this. I hosted parties and starved my body like I'd be saved by a perfect kiss. That part, first of all, we're only a third of the way through. And second, that part's fucked up because it's like, I love that she's kind of being like, yeah, I gave it my fucking all. Like, no one can say I didn't sacrifice, I didn't work, I didn't put everything I had into this. But I also, like, was delusional at some point thinking that I could just like get by with love.
Well, I was putting 100% into something that I now recognize was never going to save
me. Exactly. Yes.
And I feel like, especially at that point in time, it was all about the relationships and it was all about finding someone to validate her and all of that. So then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And then she goes into, the jokes weren't funny. I took the money. My friends from home don't know what to say. So that lyric fucked me up because it's kind of like, she's telling us that she lost her way to the point where her friends back home are like, we don't know what to say to you, like how to talk to you. And I feel like that kind of like what you said earlier, Bray, like it's so different to Folklore and Evermore lyrically and obviously sonically, but like in terms of what she's telling us and how she's songwriting, like it's so different to almost anything she's ever done. Obviously Evermore and Folklore were way more fictional based, with obviously there was like reality woven in and her experiences and her feelings woven in. But I feel like, because this is the most recent album we've gotten that is, like, obviously deeply personal. I just think it's, like, so moving to hear her say that she, yeah, like, her friends back home don't relate to her. How could they? How could they?
And that she chose the money anyway.
Yeah, and she chose things that maybe she wouldn't choose now, or that maybe she would choose them again, and maybe she doesn't think it's right. But she would do it. And then she goes into, I looked around in a blood-soaked gown and I saw something they can't take away because there were pages turned with the bridges burned. Everything you lose is a step you take. So make the friendship bracelets, take the moment and taste it. You've got no reason to be afraid. You're on your own, kid. You always have been.
I remember hearing that last lyric and feeling the shift in the way that, so at the beginning it was very much like, you're on your own, kid. You're alone.
Yeah.
And at the end it feels like, you've got you.
I think at the end she's saying, in the end, you're on your own, kid, but you always have been and you've made it this far.
Yeah.
So you're fine. Like, it's you're good.
You keep doing you.
Yeah. It's just, so it's much. Just That's inner so child work. It's just inner child work. We love a therapy bitch.
We do.
We love a therapy bitch. Can't wait to talk to my therapist about this anyway. That's why I love this song.
Oh, okay.
So let's move on.
Bray, can you tell us about one of your favorites?
Oh, I can. I would like to. Oh my goodness, so many to choose from. No, I think that I stand by Vigilante Shit.
Oh.
Being a fave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I will say, this just missed my top five.
We listened to this song. I've listened to this song the most, and I feel like we all have because we did.
If you haven't already.
Stupid fucking reel to it. It's on our TikTok, our TBH TikTok, and probably on our Instagram by the time this goes up. So I definitely have listened to this song the most, and it is a vibe.
Yeah.
It's such a vibe. Well, tell me about it, Bray.
What I would like to address is just the amount of fuck,
fucking tea. I want to address, like, okay, I was driving today. I was like, do you think she really did tell Scooter Braun's wife that he was cheating? Or is she just talking shit? Because I'd respect it either way, but like.
Well, I mean, and this is the thing, right, is that now if we run with the theory that karma was something that she wrote post-hence because we'd built it up, like, is she now claiming activities that weren't hers for the tea? Well, who's to say?
There's such a blurred line now that we know that she doesn't write everything about her actual life now.
It's honestly like kind of a genius strategy because, like, look, honestly, she's not gonna admit to dobbing Scooter Braun into the FBI.
I would.
She probably just legally wouldn't. Like, probably wouldn't want to. But, like, she's like, oh, I write fiction all the time. You don't know.
who's to say? Nobody, no crime.
Oh, did you do a white collar crime? Oh, sorry, I didn't realize.
I was away with my boyfriend at the lakes.
Yeah, it's about someone else.
Wait, oh my god, no, it just is. I think the energy of the song, like, I haven't been able to stop dancing to it.
It's so good.
It's very I did something bad. It's just so Reputation era personified.
And I think that getting back to that space after having the very self-aware songs and the very self-deprecating songs and the inner child work songs, I'm like, there she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
there's my Sagittarius with the Scorpio rising. Yes. I miss her.
Yes, it's like fun is. And it's like a bit silly in like a way, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's like not taking itself too seriously, no. But it's also like empowering.
Draw a cat eye sharp enough to kill a man.
Oh, please do it. Please.
Like, step on me.
Literally step on my throat with your stiletto heel.
And I
love puncture my esophagus.
I loved that initially it was I don't dress for women. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know where to go with this because normally it's like I don't dress for men. I dress for the female gaze.
Yeah.
Kind of period in time.
I heard I don't dress for women. I honestly, the alarm bells in my head went, Gail is not going to like this.
Pretty much this whole album, Gaylers are not going to love.
Gaylers are not going to love it in general.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Look, so be it. I don't dress for women. I don't dress for men. I'm just dressing for revenge.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That woman's in a cat suit. You just know it.
Oh, my God.
That's like a tour opener as well.
Yeah.
That song.
And when she says, is it like picture me and your ex-wife thick as thieves?
Yeah.
Oh. And this is, I like, it just is that, I mean, it just is that song that is like, I was the nice person. Mm. I did the right thing. It is not my fault that you pushed me to the edge.
Yeah.
Which is personally relatable. But I also.
Oh, I completely agree. And when she says, like, you know, the whole concept of like, she's on her vigilante shit. She's like, she's doing shit that she doesn't need to do.
No.
She's doing it for the greater good. And maybe just to get back at someone a little bit.
Like if I get back at you along the way, so be it. Yeah. So sorry.
Can I just quickly say, and I don't know if this is a hot take, I haven't heard anyone say it.
Oh.
Oh?
I've told you, Ducky.
Piping hot.
Have you?
Yeah, in the car on the way here.
Oh.
It's not about just vigilante shit. So obviously we have the anti-hero music video.
Oh, yeah.
She also, so I was thinking on the way over, I was like, we have the anti-hero music video,
mm-hmm.
and she had the upside down phone on that. When are we getting the next music video? Did she say on the manifest?
I think it's in like 2 days.
Yeah. I think it's going to be vigilante shit because she had vigilante shit and anti-hero upside down on the phone when in her TikTok videos.
And we've seen that clip with her with all of the jewels on in the Spotify. Oh.
Yeah. That's my theory. So I'm saying it right now on October 22nd, just so you know, at 12:56 p.m. So
Australia.
Even if it does come true, it's not exactly like that smart of me to figure it out. But I kind of feel like those songs go hand in hand a little bit.
Yeah.
Like they're both like this, I don't know, like.
Well, an anti-hero is an honourable mention, I think.
Ducky does not like anti-hero that much.
Wow. That's a hot take.
I think it's in my bottom five.
See, I said to Ducky, the reason why I was surprised by that is because I think that this anti-hero is a song. Even though it's not in my top five, it's so relatable in terms of it's about imposter syndrome. It's about having like, you know, like she literally said self-loathing, like hating yourself, having those moments where you think you're the worst person in the world. Why does anyone think that I'm okay?
There are two lyrics in that song.
Tell me them immediately.
That have absolutely, I was like,
decimated
I can't.
You?
Depression is a graveyard. The graveyard shift.
Mm. At this point, I'm like, don't talk about depression. I'm over her.
Depression is the
done.
You're like, I'm in my sleigh.
Depression working the graveyard shift.
Yeah.
Absolutely screwed me.
Yeah.
And then being able to stare into the sun, but not into the mirror. I was like, oh, I feel so seen.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I completely relate to the song in the way that sometimes I lay in bed awake maybe I just have these days on end where I'm like, I think I'm just an awful person.
Yeah.
And I think that I just shouldn't have all the friends and the family that I do and the job that I have and the people who want to listen to me on a podcast. Like, why do I have all this? It's just not.
Well, and if I may, tangent slightly to the music video.
Yes.
I have never seen imposter syndrome seen depicted as something too big for the room. The fact that she had obviously her sabotagey self, the doubt, and then the imposter syndrome as a giant.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving peace in a way.
It was so, like, I have never seen it depicted like that before. Mm. And I think for me, that was a really big moment.
Yeah. That music video is fucking good.
Oh, I love it.
I just want to quickly mention that the way that we pass the time between the album, finishing listening to the album, and getting that music video live was by filming that stupid reel.
Silly little reels by silly little girls.
Why don't you like it? Give us your thoughts. This is not an attack. I'm just asking.
No, it's fine. I think the biggest thing that I'm having with this album is that it's sonically not what I expected it to be.
I completely agree with that. I did not. Look, I'm sorry. Sweater vests and corduroy jeans does not lend itself to this sound. I'm not mad about it, but I did not.
It just doesn't feel cohesive.
The VMAs dress.
Yep.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Her other event outfits all make sense to me, but the promo material, the cover of Midnights with the blue sparkly eyeshadow and the light, that makes sense to me for the sound.
Yeah.
But the corduroy jeans and the fucking sweater vest.
Midnight Mayhem with me.
The Midnight Mayhem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I completely agree. It kind of came out of left field, but I love it.
Yeah.
But you don't. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, I just... No. I definitely... This album hasn't instantly grabbed me.
It's a grower for you,
like other albums have. Mm. I feel so, like, bad saying that.
No.
Because I'm like, I don't know, the Swifties are going to come for me. Not that I'm not a Swiftie. But I just feel like I tend to prefer less produced music.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it's very production heavy. And so I think that is something that I'm like... For example, with Antihero, I'm like, I like, and with most of the songs, I love the lyrics, I love the meaning, but the production is what's throwing me.
So if the production was turned down maybe like 25%, you might like it a lot more.
I feel like it's going to be interesting because I know that on the deluxe, like Target version, there's going to be bonus tracks that are strings versions of songs.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I think it's You're On Your Own, Kid, and what other one is it?
I do know that there is one, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like that will give an insight.
Would it be Sweet Nothing?
No, because Sweet Nothing's already so slow.
I could hear that with strings, though.
Okay, I've looked it up, and it is Sweet Nothing.
Oh, yeah. She's a psychic.
That's going to literally fuck me up, because I already love Sweet Nothing so much, and then the production's going to come even more toned down.
You're a little romance bitch. That's what you are.
No. Anyway, my point is that's kind of like, were you saying you agree, Bray, with stuff, with the production? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I remember on the first listen through before we did the 3 a.m. editions, I turned to, I don't know where you were, Cara. I turned to Ducky and Steph and I said, I feel like.
Where was I?
I don't know. I feel like nothing has immediately come for my top 10.
Yes. I remember you saying this.
I disagree.
The 16 hours that we've now had,
disagree,
but upon first listen, I was like, my top 10 feel pretty safe because I think I'm very used to, and Ducky, I know that you feel the same way, having a song that is immediately like, that's it.
Just so you guys sad know, girl. It has just started immediately pouring down rain.
It's gorgeous.
We're getting the sad girl autumn version of TBH Pod.
Yeah, so enjoy the ASMR along with this midnight's chaotic reaction. It is very loud in these headphones.
Yeah. Is it?
Not like too loud, but you know, it's loud.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I really feel like immediately you expect one or two songs to grab you. Mm. Illicit Affairs, Coney Island, Exile, The One, For Me.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my,
Yes.
nothing immediately I was like, this is my favorite. I felt like every three songs I was like, oh, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one.
There's not a lot of sad songs, and I think that's why, because like usually the sad songs are the ones that get me instantly.
Yeah, same.
And I was like, nothing is really fully grabbing me.
You guys kept wanting a sadder song.
Yeah,
what song was the one that you were like, I want this to be sad, and then it just and it ended up being sad, and you're like, cool, this is great. It was on the 3 a.m.
It's not Bigger Than the Whole Sky.
No, that was clearly sad. That is a sad fucking song.
No, it was Bigger Than the Whole Sky.
Okay, can we talk about that?
I made Steph listen to that on the way home yesterday.
I haven't even listened to it another time since we first listened to it. Okay. I can't comment.
I have. I can. Okay, great. But even still, Ducky, I want to know what you guys thought that song, like what meaning did you have from that song when we first listened to it when you first listened to it.
I literally can't remember it.
Okay, Bray.
Would you like to hear 30 seconds? I think the idea that something can mean so much to you in the moment and take over like your entire existence and be absolutely everything and then go to being nothing.
Did you think it was like a concept song, or did you think of it as like a specific situation song?
A concept song, but I think that's because I was selfishly thinking about things for myself and implying and like relaying.
Because I was, as we were listening to it / afterwards, I looked on Genius Lyrics, which they, you know, Genius is like a peer reviewed, I guess, in terms of anyone can really add things, but then over time it becomes a little bit more legit. Obviously within the first 12 hours of being released, things are not going to be legit. And all the reviews were like, this is talking about a relationship that's really huge and ends. And I'm like, I'm not getting relationship vibes from this song. I'm getting like deep grief vibes from these songs, from this song.
Yeah.
Like, I think this like is one of the saddest songs that she's ever written, along with like Ronin and Soon You'll Get Better. I think it's like top three saddest songs she's written. I don't really want to speculate about what I think it's about, because if it is what I think it's about, I think it's incredibly personal, and she did write a song about it, but she hasn't explicitly said.
Yeah.
Obviously, so that's fine. But like, yeah, like I just think that it's about like, it's just so sad.
Yeah. So it's
you were bigger than the whole sky.
You were literally everything.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that if you look at it from the perspective of grief as well, grief can feel bigger than the whole sky as well. So it's both of those. It's you were bigger than the whole sky in the sense that you were my absolute everything. And now my grief is filling all of that space. God, it's sad.
Well, I took this as like this song as like being something was going to be life changing, life altering, and then it ended.
Yep.
And that's why she says, I've got a lot to live without. I'm never going to meet what could have been, would have been, should have been you.
I don't think I can talk about this any longer.
It's fucked up. It's so sad. I think this is going to be a song, because I actually love the first, like, I love the song Soon You'll Get Better. Like, I can't listen to that song. It's too sad. No, it's a great song. It's a beautiful song, but it's too sad. I think this song is one that, like, I can listen to, even though it's so sad. I also just love the phrase, you were bigger than the whole sky.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But as beautiful and great as it is, it's not going to be able to be up there for me, because it's just too fucking sad. It's too sad.
Well, yeah, it's something that I'm going to listen to if I'm listening to the album from beginning to end. It's something I'm going to listen to when I really feel like I need a little bit of
emotional
you know, damage happening to me. But I'm probably not going to select it often for that reason. I think like Kara's spoken about what she thinks it's about, and I would agree. And as a result, it's like
a bit too much,
bit heavy.
Not too, which shouldn't say too much, because nothing's too much in terms of emotions, but like that's, you know,
thank you and a child,
incredibly heavy.
Yeah.
That was for 13-year-old Kara.
Catching ourselves out in the pod.
What else should we talk about?
Okay, I need to talk about Glitch.
Okay, yeah, talk about Glitch. Yes.
This song I think is for my false god girlies, and I'm a false god.
Oh, absolutely.
Girly.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so sexy, but it's like it's subtle.
So
sexy.
It's so flirty.
Subtly sexy.
Did you guys see that she put the glitch for the Wildest Dreams TikTok that she released? You know how like everyone was like, what's the glitch mean in the Wildest Dreams? She put that as the Spotify background, that TikTok. So when it glitches, it's on the song Glitch. And again, I'm like, is that a thing that she always intended, or is it just because she's like, lol, everyone went crazy over it?
I think it's just a lol.
That's what I think too. Yeah.
There's literally no way of knowing. Ever since she said, can I plan things like 3, 4, 5 years? years in advance. I'm like, what? Like, this could all be on like some big board at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be complete. I'd love to talk to her and be like, okay, give me five things that were complete coincidences or not intentional or not Easter eggs or not any type of hidden meaning. Mm. Meaning, tell me the top five that you're like, everyone reads way too much into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us about Glitch Ducky.
Well, I honestly just like how it has a lot of simplicity, it has a lot of subtlety, and the fact that it's like this really consistent pace in a way. Mm. Like, I don't know, it just feels like a really easy listening, smooth kind of song, which is the same way I feel about False God. And I really, really like that like style of music. And so it just kind of grabbed me. Like, first listen, I was like, ooh, like it just makes me feel like,
well, it's smooth and subtle, but your hips are moving.
Yeah. Like, wow, there's a lot going on here. Yeah.
It's like a sensual little song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love that idea that, like, because, like, she starts with, like, we're meant to be just friends.
Yeah.
And I love the concept of her being like, I don't even know how we really got here. Yeah. But, like, and I think there's been a glitch because now I literally am inseparable from you. I love you so much.
Yeah. We love our friends to lovers.
We do.
Yeah.
I love that there was the lyric, I thought we had no chance and that's romance. Like, yeah. I love the fact that it's kind of, like, cheeky in a way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just feels like a really, really, I love in general, like, the production of it, the fact that, like I said, I feel like I've said subtle so many times, but and then it's really subtle, but I also love that there's, like, cheekiness to it, and it's fun and sassy and all of that kind of stuff.
And it's also quite personal. Like, we get a pretty big, because, like, look, we've heard a lot about Joe in terms of their, like, how much she loves him and, like, the deep, how deep their relationship and their love is. Not to speculate too hard, but I'm like, when she says, a brief interruption, a slight malfunction, I'd go back to wanting dudes who give nothing.
Mm.
Like, I'm just like, Taylor, like, how do you... It's just crazy to think that Taylor fucking Swift struggles with the things, like, that so many women in their 20s and 30s do.
Like, this girl's had a situationship.
Oh, my God. When she mentioned situationship, I was like, there are people out there who literally have been like, oh, yeah, when I was, like, in that thing with Taylor Swift, but that we don't know about. That is crazy to me.
I know.
The world just gets so big and so small at the same time.
So Glitch is quite a produced song.
Yeah, but it's slow.
It's False God produced.
So you like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the barriers of your,
this is like, what you like. This is like the fact that I don't like Dorothea and it's one of my least favorite Taylor Swift songs. And anytime I say that to any Swiftie, they're like, oh my God. God, how could you possibly
isn't that so funny? Because you just said, like, I'm not trying to say that you can't. I'm just, again, I'm just trying to be like, where does it fit? Because okay, Dorothea is a slow song.
No, it's not. There's so much going on. Like, when you compare Dorothea and Coney Island, like, Coney Island is so stripped in comparison. I get what you mean. It's like, there's so much guitar.
Do you think you like happy songs?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just a question.
I've got Glitch, Would've, Could've, Should've, Sweet Nothing and Karma are all in my top five. I like happy songs. Sorry, not Would've, Could've, Should've.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Glitch, Sweet Nothing and Karma. They're all happy songs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So you like Glitch because it's slower, even though it's a bit more produced than maybe what you'd normally like. And then if you want to...
I think it's that produced.
Yeah. I think it's a False God level.
It's very, it's like there's not a lot of change happening. Like, and it's not heavy production. It's like,
I don't think it's a heavy production, but I do think it's like, it fits the sound.
Yeah.
But it's maybe a little bit lighter than the production.
It's definitely lighter.
And I think maybe comparatively to the rest of Midnight's, it's one of the lighter productions.
Well, there's no auto tune taking it down an octave or two. So.
We're in trouble. I'm a midnight ring.
A Cher moment on the album. Love that. I think Glitch will get up on my way further up on my list as I listen to it more, because even just like thinking about it now, when it was first played last night, I was like, holy shit, this is so good. Like, again, like, fun. This is what I love about this album. It's just giving fun for me. I'm like, I'm loving that I can listen to it and just vibe the fuck out in my Slay era, which we all know that I'm in, because, you know, I mentioned it last week.
It's also just evident. You're literally glowing.
Yeah, it's evident. Thank you so much.
That's okay. I think that Glitch is a really great way to then move into High Infidelity.
Here's Ms. Reedy. High Infidelity, I don't even really know how to explain why this song is so, like, why it's in my top five, because it's like, if I think about Midnight Rain, I think about You're On Your Own, Kid. If I think about Would've, Could've, Should've, I can very easily kind of explain what I love about those songs.
Yeah.
High Infidelity, I'm kind of just like, I can't really explain it. I just, the second I heard it, I was like, this is good.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah.
Is it in either of yours?
No.
It's in my second tier. Like, I am actually ditching the top five because I just can't. It's in my second tier.
It'll be in my second tier too.
I think the chorus is so fucking good. It's so, so catchy.
Such tea. Like,
high infidelity. What? What?
I'm going to put a deep auto tune over that, just like Midnight Rain. No, I love
it. I encourage the karaoke.
I won't be singing because that would be absolutely frightful. But yeah, like Put On Your Records and Regret Me. I Bent the Truth Too Far. I think I just love songs where people admit they fucked up.
That lyric, I Bent the Truth Too Far.
I was dancing around it.
Oh.
I just love songs where people are like, yeah, I'm like not perfect. I'm kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
I definitely made a mistake. But here's why. Because like I think, I mean, this is kind of goes for everything. Like, movies, books, TV shows, music. Like, I like anything that kind of explores, like, all the different, like, ways that we're human.
Mm.
And I think this song is one of those really quite honest ones where she's like, especially for someone who grew up singing about infidelity and about cheating and being cheated on, how much she hates cheaters. And then she wrote Girl at Home. Love that song. But sorry, like, bit rich coming from you.
Off the drag. To be fair, Girl at Home was... I mean, again, if we're speculating, not that we need to because we're, you know, moving away from the culture.
Because we're mature.
Girl at Home was a million midnights before this midnight.
Oh, no, this is what I mean. It's like, I like this song for that move past it. Like, obviously, like, I'm not going to say I like cheating or the idea of something. Although, if you're going to cheat on anyone, cheat on Calvin Harris. That guy gives rancid vibes. Agree. So, like, just do it. That's fine with me. you have permission, Taylor Swift.
See you about Adam.
But, like, I love that. I love the growth from, like, singing about these things and then kind of realizing that life gets messy and complicated.
Yeah.
And even though there's, you know, in, I guess, like, it's easy to say, there's no excuse for cheating. Life gets messy, complicated, shit happens. You do things, you make mistakes, you get in relationships that maybe things aren't clear cut. And then she says, I bent the truth too far tonight. And I love that. Like, I love how honest that is. And then I loved the lyric. And I also know that we all had a moment when this was said. There's many different ways to kill someone you love.
Oh.
The slowest way is never loving them enough. But then when she said, do you really want to know where I was April 29th? Do I really have to tell you how he brought me back to life?
Love that. Love that. As a couplet, that, it was too much.
That lyric is fucked. You're asking the question, like, do you really want me to tell you the honest truth? Like, it's going to hurt you.
Because you were killing me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, maybe neither of us were in the right.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't, but you weren't either.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, it's just such a good song.
Powerful, powerful.
Put on your headphones and burn my city. Oh, God. Why does she write lyrics like this? It's too much.
It is.
It's too much. Okay. What else should we move on to?
To take us a little bit... further out, Jack Antonoff produced this entire album.
Yes.
Jack Antonoff also produced the 1975 album that came out last week.
Have you listened to that?
I have.
Do you like it?
Muchly. But what was so interesting as someone that has listened to both albums is hearing how similar and different the production is.
Mm.
I think knowing a completely Jack Antonoff produced album last week and then hearing where Taylor's added into that this week.
So 1975 completely Jack Antonoff produced.
Yep.
He is popping the fuck off at the moment.
He's doing some things.
He's like, he just keeps getting bigger and better and sexy and hotter.
Yep.
Like, it's just good for him. He needs to win producer of the year.
I completely agree.
Yeah. For something. For
everything.
For everything.
And it's really interesting because there are some particular songs like Glitch and some of those softer produced songs that sound almost old 1975 reminiscent as well.
I do get that
so
vibe,
I can really feel the Taylor Swift universe and the Jack Antonoff universe even getting a little bit smaller. Like having Lana on this album with Snow on the Beach, that softer production, having Glitch, and then having old 1975. Jack's worked with the 1975 last week. Oh, for an album that was released last week, you really are starting to get a concept of his sonic contributions
yeah.
to songs and really seeing him pop off. But also, mm-hmm. I think for girlies like myself that maybe have only really started looking into things like production and song credits mm-hmm. over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. I think being able to now identify that quite heavily with Jack Antonoff
yeah.
is so much fun.
Jack Antonoff has such a distinctive production style.
Yeah.
And it's not in the way that it's like super predictable or like the same thing over and over. No. It's more just like, this is a Jack Antonoff song or an album. Like, because it's just so obvious. Mm. Like, and I just think he's just one of the greatest producers ever.
The build up to the drop.
Mm.
To the, like, the build up to the silent drop.
And the little like quirky things he puts in of like, you know, pairing things back, putting yep. random sounds in.
That's something that I really loved about this album was like those moments where there are really random sounds.
Mm.
Like obviously yeah. we get Taylor as Cher
mm-hmm.
in some songs. But there are obviously. Also just some, obviously, there are also just some moments where there's like a wah and you're like, what? Where did that come from? Like, yeah. what?
It's the thing that I really loved. So, like, I've mentioned this before, and I don't think these albums are even remotely, like, I'm not saying that they're similar in a lot of ways, but, like, it's giving melodrama in a lot of ways, this album, in terms of, like, almost, like, experimental kind yep. of synthy kind of vibes. I mean, with melodrama, there's so many sounds that, like, if you sat me down and said, here's the song you play me something. You said, so I'm going to put like a tiger growling there, or I'm going to do like a random trombone there, or I'm going to put like screeching sounds from machinery here. I'd be like, what the fuck do you mean? And like, it works the way he does it. Mm-hmm. And I think like, that's why Jack Antonoff makes such interesting music, especially with Taylor, is because it's like you never expect it.
No.
In a way. And that's why he, even though you can immediately recognize his sound, it's not predictable.
Mm. I'm very excited for the making of that we're going to get for this.
Are we?
I'm manifesting.
I really hope we do. I think because we've seen that she's filmed so many clips, I think we are.
Yeah.
I just want to quickly ask you guys a question maybe to round this off. How did you guys feel about the Lana collab?
Oh, that's my least favorite song on the album.
It's like number 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have listened to it a couple of times now.
Mm-hmm.
My initial thoughts are this. I think that after Nothing New with Phoebe Bridgers,
yeah,
and knowing how interconnected and in the Jack Antonoff Taylor Swift universe Lana Del Rey has been for so long, I was optimistic that we would get a little bit more Lana on the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that, I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed, but it's fine because I feel like there were definitely moments in the backing vocals where you could very distinctly hear Lana, yeah. and I really liked that. I would like to see their voices more.
Mm.
Snow on the Beach as a concept was lovely.
No, you wanted to be about cocaine.
But just let me get to my butt. I felt like for a Lana song or a partly Lana song, I maybe just wanted a nod to or an ode to something a little bit darker. Not necessarily cocaine. I mean, snow, obviously. I was kind of like,
there. Wait, I loved that meme that was like, Lana Del Rey wanted to call the song Cocaine Bitches, but Taylor Swift made her settle for Snow on the Beach.
Yeah. And this is, I'm like, I didn't necessarily need a completely nefarious song to come out of the two of them.
Well,
but I did want something with a little bit more grit to it, I think.
Well, we have Lana on one side, who literally at one point in her career sold Coke spoons on a necklace.
So good.
So her fans could buy little snorty little things.
The Tumblr like, girlies know.
Tumblr girlies know. She literally sold that as part.
That's wild.
She literally sold that as part of her merch. It was like on a necklace. It was like a love heart and like the spoon popped out in love heart. And so you literally would just like, you know, you just have to like snort Coke or anything really if you wanted to snort anything but Coke. So we have Lana. No, it's crazy. Yeah. People, we're not kidding. I think Lana Del Rey would write a song called Cocaine Bitches.
And this was the thing. I'm not like I love the song as it is.
Yeah.
But you because I expected grittier. Something different, it didn't immediately grab me. It is in my maybe top or bottom like five.
I think sound wise it was a really nice sound because it was not Lana Del Rey, it was not Taylor Swift. I think it was in the middle. I liked the sound.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean about the lyrics and the content and the meaning, I do think it, like, it could have been a bit like, I don't know, like, yeah, like a bit darker, a bit grittier, a bit like had a bit more like, I don't want to say substance, because I do think like it's a nice song, but like I do understand what you mean by that. But I think we have Lana Del Rey on that side, like we mentioned, and then we have Taylor Swift on the other side, who's like, I don't think she will ever, 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 ever write a lyric that alludes to her doing drugs besides smoking weed.
No, and she's in her, I mean, she's two eras past it now, but she's in her lover era. Like, let the woman be in love, and that's what she wants to write about. So I understand.
She's in her I'll write about other people doing lines era, but not me.
But not me.
I'll mention that the guy who told me I'll had fucking beautiful. Moonstone aura was high, but not me.
Not me, not I.
Definitely not me. Could never be me.
No. I can tell she's listened to Delta Goodrum.
Oh, I fucking hope so, because I think she'd vibe it. Like I've said, Delta Goodrum's the Taylor Swift of Australia, and I'll stand by it.
Not Me, Not I by Delta Goodrum.
Anyway, guys, I think, do you think that wraps it up?
I think it does wrap it up. It's a nice, cohesive little...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, cohesive and yet chaotic.
Yeah.
I mean, we established at the beginning of the episode that it's only been out for 16 hours. How could our brains be anything but scrambled?
Yeah. It's fucked
up. It's a chaotic thought dump.
It is.
These thoughts are going to change in a week. Disclaimer.
Yeah. My sister messaged me something offensive today. She goes, oh my God, Taylor's new album. And I went, oh my God, yeah. Like, literally, what else is there to say? And she goes, yeah, I've only listened to half, but I really like it. I'm like,
which half?
How does one start listening and stop? What have I raised you to be?
Yeah.
What have you raised your younger sister to be?
No, that's the plight of the oldest daughter. Yeah.
With love, I raised her.
My sister messaged me the same, and I was like, don't spoil it. She's like, I'm only two songs in. And I was like, don't talk to me about it then. You've got nothing to say yet.
Thank you, Braylene, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Love chatting about Taylor Swift. Oh,
love having you on the pod, obviously, as always. Fun. I love that we got to sit down and just, like, talk about our initial thoughts, because I think this will be fun to look back on or to listen to maybe in, like, 6 months when, like, it's kind of settled.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because that's always what happens. Right? I mean, Ducky in the car asked me, she's like, where do you think this album sits as, like, in ranking her albums? And I said, number one right now.
Yeah, I can't talk about it. I don't.
It would really be your number one right now?
I don't know. I don't know what I would move. I don't know what I would bump.
I think I'm too decisive.
Okay.
Because it's so obvious to me.
Well, okay, where does it sit for you?
Fifth.
Yeah, she's very...
Or sixth.
You know what? I do actually respect that you are very decisive about, like, things you like and don't like.
Yeah.
You rarely say, and this goes for everything, food, don't touch me with, don't look at me with a mushroom in your hand. It goes for movies.
Yeah.
It goes for, with stuff that you like. I'm going to say you're not a decisive person.
No.
Okay, great. I'm glad
but
you
have very
that.
Quick and strong opinions.
Yeah.
But yes, but and things you like and dislike, you know, and you stick to it.
Yeah. I'm happy to share my opinions, and if they change, they change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I am on the almost the opposite spectrum where I'm like, I actually, when I was studying journalism, I was like, I love music so much and like movies and stuff like that. Mm. But I couldn't possibly be a music journalist like I wanted to because I love everything I hear the first time I hear it.
Well, like, this is my first album was changing weekly before midnight. So I don't even know what to do. Or my favorite album.
Mm.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Yeah. So
I don't know what to tell you.
Basically what I'm saying is right now, because I can't fathom another
sound
in my ears. I can't fathom it. So it's my number one right now, but I'm very interested to see how it fits in. And so maybe to look back on this in a few months would be very cool.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Anyway, guys, thank you as always for being with us here today. Let us know about your thoughts on Midnight. If you're not a Swiftie and you listen to this, first of all, like, congrats. Because
you
like,
get a
that's,
prize.
That's some fucking dedication. Let us know your thoughts on the album, what you liked, if you like had anything that we didn't cover that you kind of had thought of. We obviously love to talk
we
about Taylor Swift.
We didn't cover like 2/3 of the songs.
Well,
there's
anyway,
simply no
we
way.
We couldn't possibly.
No, we couldn't possibly.
That's, we'll leave that for Bonnie and Em to do. So Bonnie and Em will do a whole ass reaction. It'll probably be 10 hours long. Go to Chats and Reacts and watch it. And it's, I don't know if it'll be out by the time this episode's up, but just, you know, just go and do that for a whole
that's their
meal.
Yeah.
This is an appetizer. Go to them for the meal.
I love being an entree.
Yeah, literally. Anyway, guys, have an amazing day.
Week.
Week.
Month.
Month.
Era.
Wow. We'll be in here next week again. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.